saving money on exterior wall lights. Now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle, watch us at MileLifeSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. A week from today, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream travel trailers, campers, a boat, containers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Good morning. How are you?
Top of the morning. Good. All of our teams are advancing into the second round. Very similarly, both teams winning 3-1 series. Both teams advancing, we think, probably to the next level against probably the best teams in the West.
I'm not a big-time gambler, but if you would have given me big odds, big odds, that after game one, the Avs would sweep the next four games, I wouldn't have taken it.
No, of course not.
Here's 50-1 odds. I don't know about that.
Yeah. No.
Would you?
No.
Alex, would you?
Probably not. No.
I don't know what argument you could make for it. Seriously, at the time,
right.
Other than the fact that they had scored 6 goals. But at that point, it's kind of like you're giving Hellebuck the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
You're not giving Georgiev the benefit of the doubt, right? So, no, I don't see. I've said this as we've gone along. That's the most remarkable transformation of a team's chances as perceived from the outside looking in as I've ever seen. They probably thought, no problem, we're on target. Jared Bednar probably thought, don't worry about this. We're okay. We're a better team. It certainly played out that way. But man, I'll tell you what, a week ago last Saturday after that first game, no, I wasn't thinking. I was thinking that the Avs would be fortunate to win the series, let alone sweep it and score 5 or more goals in it for only the fourth time. What is it, 5 games? And it's only the fourth time in NHL history that a team has started the playoffs with 5 or more goals in a playoff? No. You could... No, I don't know who could have seen this coming.
I don't want to make this sound like a ridiculous comparison, but honestly, it is the closest comparison that I could find. Hellebuck was the best goalie in the league this year. He is going to win the Vezina Trophy. He didn't give up a lot of soft goals at all. It's not like he was bad, because he wasn't bad. They were just putting the puck where he just couldn't get it. I mean, there weren't a bunch of pucks going 5-hole on him. You know, I don't think for a minute Rick Bonus thought about pulling Hellebuck.
Mm.
Not because he's the Vezina Trophy winner or will be. It's not like he was just awful. Point is, watching Hellebuyck out there reminded me of watching Patrick Mahomes against Tampa in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
Best quarterback in football, best goalie in hockey. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you just ripped apart the best guy in your sport.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like, potentially, for the next guy in goal against the Avalanche if they continue to click offensively? If they're going to put up 5.23 goals against the best guy in the league, what in the world are they going to do against somebody else? And, Winnipeg is a really good defensive team,
right,
too. It's not like they just have a great backstop. They have a bunch of guys who, generally speaking, play really well in front of him.
So is it realistic, in your estimation, knowing what you do, to assume that the Avs can continue this type of offensive trend? Or do things start to tighten up when they get in against better skaters? Dallas clearly is a better, faster version.
Yes.
So, and they've got very good goalkeeping. So but to me, the question falls back to, will they maintain their defensive integrity in front of Georgiev? And will Georgiev continue to make enough saves, not necessarily to win them a game, but to pull them along and give them a chance?
Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is brought to you by Beyond Stem Cells. Grow young with us by going to beyondstemcellsdenver.com or call 1-833-720-STEM.
I think what you're asking is Georgiev good enough to win a cup as a goaltender?
I think it boils down to that.
He was brilliant yesterday.
Sure was.
He made some great saves that at the end of the regular season would have been hit in the back of the net. He is dialed in as of right now. Next game, he could give up 12. But the difference is you believe in him now. His teammates have to believe in him now. If they didn't believe in him going into the playoffs, that has flipped to 180.
Well, he's sitting there at a 2 goals against average over the last 4 games. That's pretty real to me, right? I mean, that's enough of a trend that you start to see the possibilities. Now, to your point, everything changes when you've got different attacking players, different attacking philosophies. They're going to be playing a team, regardless of who it is, they're going to be playing a team that is much more offensive in its nature. So, you know, and it's just like with the Nuggets.
Well, it depends on who they get. If they get Vegas, that's not necessarily true. Is it?
I think Vegas is better than Winnipeg. They're the defending champions, and I think they're more offensive than Winnipeg, but Dallas is clearly more offensive.
Yes and no. Yeah, Dallas scored 298 goals this past year. Avs led the league with 304. Winnipeg this past year scored 259 goals. The Golden Knights scored 267 over the course of 82 games.
Yeah.
That's not a whole lot.
Okay. Well, there you go then. So
now, when you look at defensively, Vegas gave up 245 goals. Winnipeg gave up 199.
Yeah.
So Vegas is good. They're not great offensively. They're not great defensively. Dallas is terrific offensively. But you want to know how well they've played against Vegas? The Avalanche have 8 guys through 5 games with 5 or more points. The Stars have 3 guys with just 4 points.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's only 4 games.
Sure.
But they are not lighting the lamp a lot.
I like the Avs' chances, certainly to get out of the West. And
But we said that at certain points during the season.
Yeah. Well, they've been streaky. They win 9 straight, then they lose 7 of their next 10. But that was in the regular season. I'll ask you, isn't there a different mentality, a different carrot at the end of the stick in the playoffs? Obviously, they're healthy. Now, they don't have Druin, and we'll wait and see on the hit that McCarr took last night.
I'll give you the simplest reason why they won this series.
Okay.
You can make the case. There are 3 reasons why.
Good.
They won this series.
All right.
Number one, defensively, they tightened up in front of Georgiev, and I will tie that into Georgiev played better.
Right. 1-2.
Number two, Nichushkin and Lehkonen are on a tear.
Right.
Right? So, essentially, it's kind of like, if we're going to compare it to the Nuggets, you know what you're getting out of Jokic and Murray. Porter Jr. and Gordon are Nichushkin and Lehkonen.
Okay.
And you're getting a 29-14 rebound performance out of Gordon. You're getting 7 goals in 5 games out of Nichushkin. But I would argue this is the reason why they are advancing. Last year, Alex Newhook scored the only point over 7 games for the bottom 6 forwards. 1 point. That was the biggest. That's why I contend, and I've heard other people say this, well, if Nichushkin was healthy, no. They got nothing out of their bottom 2 lines. Zilch. Through 5 games, the bottom 6 forwards, 3 goals, 5 assists.
Yeah.
5 games. Newhook, 1 point in 7 games.
How about the goal Trennan had last night?
Another just bottom 6 guy.
And just an ass-kicking goal.
Right.
Just a, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to throw it out in front. I'm going to go through 2 guys, and I'm going to beat your ass at the goal line, and boom. And it was an inspiring goal. And then, boom, Winnipeg comes back to tie it at 3, and the big guns take over.
Right.
2 goals, boom, boom. And then it was tightening it up on the back end and just strangling them out. It was a great series closer on the road against a team that probably was beaten, but still a team that had enough pride to get after it and get into the third with a game even. I just thought it was a really good flex moment for the Avs.
Wyatt Johnson for the Stars led them with goal scoring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Has 3 goals so far in 4 games. Pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Okay. Miles Wood and Zach Parise each have 2 goals in 5 games. But I'm going to point out Wood, who, by the way, has he played every game?
No.
He actually has.
Has he played every game?
He has. But he's a bottom 6 guy,
right,
who has 2 goals. That should tell you where the bottom 6 guys are in terms of contributing. 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points in 5 games. They got a single point last year in 7.
You know what's kind of interesting?
Again, it's the old saying, your top 2 lines will win you regular season games, and your bottom 2 lines will win you playoff games. Yes, you need your big guys to perform, but they're not going to perform every night. Unless you're Valeri Nichushkin, Nathan MacKinnon, Kale McCarr, Turi Lehkonen, and Mikko Rantanen. And other than that, because those guys are crushing it.
Are the Avs more like the Timberwolves going into the second round or more like the Nuggets?
No, because the Avs are champs. The Avs won a title 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. The core is still there. Okay. Minnesota doesn't have anyone
I'm just talking about title. With the impressiveness of
Suns?
Yeah. Just the impressiveness of their first round and emerging from it looking like the team to beat. I would argue.
Yeah, they look like the team to beat right now.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And I'm not so sure that Minnesota doesn't look like the team to beat. Now, matchups change. Series change. And we'll see how things start percolating on Saturday. But just from a standpoint of, and I'll use your term, for the photograph, for the snapshot of today and where we are, the Avs have that look.
Yep.
The Timberwolves, to me, have that look right now. They don't have the pedigree. They don't even have the pedigree of the Avs.
No.
They really don't. You're right.
They don't have guys on their team that have won titles.
The Avs have rings. Fascinating. And, man, oh, man, there's a part of me that hopes this thing gets done in, what is it, six between Dallas and Vegas?
You don't want to go seven?
Well, only because then you've got four straight games at home, because you're going to have to start this series. The Nuggets are in town. You're talking about home ice now, right? If it's Vegas.
Yeah.
Right?
You're talking about scheduling?
Yeah.
So are you referring to there could be a day game and a night game on the same day?
Well, I'm saying there could be games on four straight days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
That's what we're basically dealing with now.
Right. But I'm talking home games. Not because Dallas has home ice.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I think you're speaking like a media guy for the amount of time you have to be at the arena.
No,
I think fans would love four straight games at home.
Well, I'm saying that would be pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
I'm saying, how good would that be?
Yeah.
I mean, and wouldn't you really kind of rather play Vegas than Dallas? I mean, I guess if you're the Avs, it's like, I don't care who the hell we play.
No.
Line them up. But I mean, you know.
But do you want the champs, or do you want a team that can skate with you and has four lines?
Yeah, I'll take the champs.
Either way, with the way that they are playing, if they play this game, against anybody, they will continue to win.
Okay.
The question is, can another team stop the Avs from doing what they do well? Coming up after the break, it seems like once a week something comes out of Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay, with Deion Sanders, he's done a lot of great things. I always preface it that way. He's done a lot of great things. And he has done a lot of great things. Now another player has spoken out about the way Deion Sanders handled literally cleaning house. And then Shador pops in to the conversation. That's next. Surprises let me know she cares. Say it ain't so. I will not go. Turn the lights off. Carry me home.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. Presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. A week from today, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream travel trailers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, if you want your friends in the neighborhood to look at your truck or your 4x4 and say, my goodness, that thing is awesome, well, you need to go to High Country Performance 4x4, and chances are that's the only place in town you can get that kind of service. You can get that type of detail. You can get that type of rebuild. What do? Yeah, rebuilds, seasonal inspections, custom fabrication, and more. They are the experts at doing this. I've taken a tour of that place, and it is mind-blowing on the things that they can do for your truck or your 4x4. Don't dream about what they can do for you. Go see their work at the retail center. Okay, go check out their work at hcp4x4.com. Again, it's hcp4x4.com. Or again, check them out in Englewood. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by High Country Performance 4x4 in Englewood, Colorado's premier one-stop shop for anything and everything 4x4s and trucks. High Country Performance 4x4, building cool sh- since 1980. Go to hcp4x4.com.
Former Buff safety Xavier Smith did an interview with The Athletic about his final moments in Boulder after Deion Sanders took over the program. Smith entered the 2022 season trying to get healthy from a broken leg that he suffered during his senior season, then a hamstring injury during the season. So what he told The Athletic, that he was optimistic about going into having a meeting with Sanders, thinking that Sanders would want to work with young players. Smith continued, "I was actually getting mad, like tears coming to my eyes, because bro, you never even tried to get to know me, Deion. Deion was destroying guys' confidence and belief in themselves the way he did it. It could have been done with a little bit more compassion." A lot of Buffs fans cheered Sanders cleaning house because the team won a single game. But can you understand where Smith is coming from?
Oh, sure. Of course you can. I mean, there's no... And I do think the most interesting part of that statement is it could have been handled a little bit more compassionately. So I didn't feel venom coming from this young man. I felt like, you know, obviously it was a tough situation. And maybe his bedside manner can be questioned. But at the time, I don't think that I think all of us understood that you were going to have to change everything about the program. The program was mired in a bad place. It had to be dug out from. They've started the process. The process continues this year. We'll see how it goes. But nobody has lost more players in the transfer portal and gained more players in the transfer portal than the University of Colorado and Deion Sanders.
So do you think there's a problem up in Boulder with losing all those players? When it was sitting at about 8 or 9, you and I both agreed it's really not that big of a deal. But once you start breaking the 30 barrier, I'm not saying there's something going on there, and I'm not suggesting it's overly alarming, but you have to wonder why so much of his Louis has decided, you know what, I need to get out of town.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're ever, I mean, maybe at some point we'll know really what the deal is and what's going on. I'm sure that there are, like in many programs, guys that are in the foxhole and ready to run through a brick wall, guys that are feeling their way, and guys that are pissed because they're not getting attention, playing time, this, that, and the other thing. The deal is this. They pretty much now have all guys that are Deion's guys.
Most of the 33 were Deion's guys.
Right. So 2 years in.
So what does that say, honestly, about your evaluation and the way you evaluate talent? That you have all these guys that are leaving. Maybe you should spend some time in a living room.
Well, I mean, that's subject to interpretation, and I would certainly listen to that. What it says to me is you're doing everything on the transfer portal, and the transfer portal giveth and it taketh, because there are different types of youngsters that are in the transfer portal. But there's always a reason they're in the transfer portal.
We've talked about that.
That's right.
Not getting enough playing time, I'm out. Not getting enough NIL money, I'm out.
Right.
I'm going to blame somebody else on why I'm not starting.
Exactly.
Kormani McClain. I'm going to blame somebody else. I'm not going to be accountable. So you're right. There is some balance
to
that.
Sure there is.
But for those of you who are Buffs fans who said, yeah, get rid of those guys, they stunk, only one win, this is what I would ask you. Okay? Let's say you worked at a company and things were not going well and you weren't really necessarily the problem, but you just happened to be an apple in a batch of apples that weren't very good. Now, go back to when you were 18, 19 years old. And that guy saying to you runs the business, basically, you're useless. We don't want you. We don't need you. Please leave. How would you feel? How would you feel as an 18 or 19 year old if somebody said that to you? That's putting your entire life in flux.
Yeah.
Now,
formative years.
How would you feel if you were an adult? You'd still be upset with the way that it was handled. Now, go back to being a teenager. How would it feel? My point is, have some compassion.
Yes. I don't disagree with that. I don't know all the circumstances. I will say this. I thought Shador piling on was a bad look.
Well, let's go into what
just
he said.
Just a bad look.
He said about the comments coming from Smith. He said, Shador, well, he said, I don't even remember him, to be honest. Bro had to be mid at best. Telling you, this kind of garbage is not going to play in an NFL locker room.
Oh, my God, no.
I got news for you, Shador. Okay? I don't care what you drive. I don't care what watch you have. Daddy has snowplowed for you. Not helicopter parented, snowplowed for you. He has protected you at every turn as a player and as a parent. I'm a parent too. We want to protect our kids. Daddy's not going to be there for you anymore. Okay? And quite frankly, the players in that locker room don't care that Daddy is Deion Sanders. You're going to be on your own in an NFL locker room. And if you bring this type of attitude into an NFL locker room, you are the type of rookie that they will literally duct tape to a goalpost and leave you there.
Shador Sanders is a phenomenal talent. We all understand that. And I think he's a fair, but from the outside looking in, appears to be a pretty bright guy too, on top of it. He does. Now, I just wish sometimes there were governors on social media and you could really look at something before you hit it, because, and I know you can, but people don't, because that's a bad look.
I understand.
It doesn't. What does he, other than defending his dad?
And I get that
a degree, but
right.
Man, come on, dude. You're a leader in that program. You got to lift guys up.
You know what he needs to do? If he's sitting across the table from me, this is what I would say to him. I know he's not your blood brother, but he's your brother. Look at Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Always seems to do the right thing.
Yeah, but Travis Hunter ain't mid.
No, I understand
that. Right?
I'm saying the way Shador opens his mouth and Travis stays quiet and does the right thing and forgave that kid from Colorado State.
Yeah, part of it is just who they are, and I get it. I will be very interested to hear, because there are more and more players now that are out of this program after a year, and I will have access to some of them, and at least from a second party, and I will be interested in chatting about the experience in Boulder. Because when you have 33 players leave that were all recruited by,
or most
were recruited by Deion or his acolytes, those are his guys. And it'll be really interesting to see what kind of general consensus. Now, you got to look at it with a bit of a jaundiced eye. I mean, guys didn't stay. So for whatever reason, it didn't work out for them at Colorado. I'm not going to put all of that on Deion Sanders. I mean, you're still talking about young guys that maybe have an inflated view of themselves in some situations. Who knows?
Here's what is ironically protecting Deion Sanders from any criticism that he might be getting from all these kids transferring out. And then, of course, guys transferring in.
Sure.
They won 4 games last year. If they won 10, it would look like a big problem.
Yes.
But because they won 4 games, well, we had to get rid of these guys, and we were only a 4-win team anyway. So we kept the good guys and let the other guys
walk. Well, yeah, he's actually already said that. Look at the guys that are transferring. Who are these guys? They're
totally dismissive.
They're second teamers. They're not, and that And that was very distasteful for me.
Right.
Those are guys that you recruited, man.
Right.
Those are your guys.
Problem is you barely knew them. Because really, there are three guys on that team you really love. And then probably the kid they just got, Jordan Seaton. Right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, like we have said, and I will fall back to this, it's a very different way of doing things. We've never seen anything like this before because the transfer portal is a relatively new exercise for most coaches in college football. Deion Sanders is using it to an extreme.
Coming up after the break, Zach Wilson. Well, option wasn't picked up, no surprise.
None.
My question is going to be, when I look back at last year's training camp, the way they split up reps with the three quarterbacks, how are they going to split up reps this year? Is it going to be like last year, or is it going to be different? That's next.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Week from today, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream travel trailers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Got notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
No surprise, the Broncos have declined Zach Wilson's $22 million option. With that, it got me to thinking about OTAs last year in the beginning of training camp.
Right.
When they had Wilson, Stidham, and DiNucci.
Yep.
During OTAs, it seemed like they split reps by a third. But then when we got into training camp, I remember talking about this on the show, and it happened for a good week and a half, if not 2 weeks, where Stidham and Wilson were splitting reps. And all I kept thinking was, if Wilson's going to adjust to Peyton's system, why not give him the majority of the reps? And by giving Stidham half of those reps, or I should say equal number of reps to Wilson, maybe what we all believed at the time, which was Peyton never really wanted Russell to begin with, he's propping up his own guy, Jarrett Stidham, to see maybe I want him to be the guy. So I'm going to give him equal number of reps. So now the question is, what do you do with Stidham, who's the incumbent, Wilson, who has talent but is a reclamation project, and then the 12th overall pick in Bo Nix? How do you split those reps up?
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic, isn't it? Because Nix is Sean's guy.
So is Stidham.
Different kind of guy.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about going out and drafting a rookie with the 12th pick instead of spending $10 million over 2 years with a guy. But he likes Jarrett Stidham.
He does.
There's no question about it.
He was going to give the team a spark.
Would have been nice. Did not happen. And Zach Wilson is at least intriguing. Although I would be very surprised if most of the focus isn't fast-tracking Bo Nix here.
Okay. So last year, let's call it 10 reps in training camp. 11 reps, really, because this is what it felt like for the first week and a half to 2 weeks. And you and I talked about it during the break. 4 for Wilson, 4 for Stidham, 3 for DiNucci.
Okay.
How you parsing that out?
Yeah, I that may just be a Sean Payton thing, for all I know. I mean, he may be...
No, I'm saying, how does it... Fine, it's a Sean Payton thing. How does he parse it out? Who gets the 4s? Who gets the 3?
Nixon Stidham.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think? Nixon Stidham at this particular point? You know, and then... But, I mean, I think Knicks will always be at the forefront just because of what they have invested in him, in a pick, in the scouting, in the belief that this is their guy moving forward. So I think that Knicks will be at the forefront of that. And then the other two, figure it out.
What's the final depth chart look like?
Mm.
And do they keep all three?
I think they will keep all three. I think Knicks...
On a team that doesn't have a deep roster, you're going to keep a third quarterback who you're really not that crazy about.
I think they will initially will have three. Yeah, I do. I think they'll carry three. It's not really costing them much. It's more of a roster spot, which is valuable.
Give me the order.
I think Knicks will be the opening day starter.
I do too.
And I would have never said that two, three weeks ago, but the fervor and the just the excitement that you can see from Peyton and Peyton on Knicks indicates to me that there's a lot of belief there. And why not? You got a guy that's played 61 games, more games than anybody in college football history in a career.
You really want to rush him out there?
Well,
knowing
the balance point.
That once the car is on the track, you can't take it off. You got to race.
Yep. Well, it's a question of where you believe his maturity and his confidence is. And we don't know. I could make a guess on that based on just being around Bo Nix for the short amount of time that I have been. I think it's warranted. He is a confident, smart dude. We don't know how he's going to play, but I'm going to tell you this right now. And I think I said this right from the beginning, not as a prediction, but as just a statement of the obvious, to me at least. Bo Nix from day one was the Sean Payton sounding guy.
Yep.
I said it on this show around the combine. When we first started listening to Bo Nix, it was this dude oozed Sean Payton.
Right.
And I think it's going to be a mutual admiration society. So we'll see how it goes.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll discuss the Rockies setting an MLB record by trailing in 29 straight games to start the season. And how much would not having Chris Finch on the sideline affect the Timberwolves? We'll talk about it next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, mileisports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. A week from today, there's going to be a construction and contracting equipment auction featuring wheel loaders, excavators, cranes, Airstream travel trailers, campers, a boat, containers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, Rockies continue to lose, but I'm going to put something into perspective for you that is truly jarring when you hear this. The Avs and Nuggets just wrapped up their opening round playoff series. They each won 4 times in 5 games. The Rockies started the season over a month ago. They've played 29 games, and they've won 7. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com.
Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Okay, guys, just in case you missed it, Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch is undergoing surgery today to repair his right patellar tendon, and it does remain unclear whether he will be able to open the series against the Nuggets on the bench. How much would not having Chris Finch on the sideline affect the Minnesota Timberwolves?
How much would it affect the Nuggets not having Michael Malone? Okay. Now, Adelman is terrific, but I'd rather have Malone.
Of course.
And you'd rather have Finch.
Yes. Without question.
I mean, Finch doesn't have a title on his resume, and I understand that. But losing your head coach?
Yeah. Just for the calming influence alone and that voice that you've had that has been the voice all season long. Hope his surgery went okay. It was a freakish deal. So I hope he's all right.
All right, just in case you missed it, in a season filled with losses, the Rockies may have had the worst one of the season last night as they led 5-0 going into the bottom of the ninth. They allowed 5 runs and then lost 7-6 in the 10th inning. The Rockies surpassed the 1910 St. Louis Browns and have trailed in 29 straight games to start their season, the longest streak in the history of baseball. What do you have to say about that?
They were up 5-0, and they were playing well. And not only were they playing well, they were pitching well. Ryan Feltner went into the eighth. It wasn't a bridge too far. He only had about 70 pitches at that point. So why not roll him out for the eighth? They got absolutely nothing behind him. Justin Lawrence and Jalen Beeks, who, by the way, has been really good. Jalen Beeks has been really good. Wasn't last night. And this is, in a season that sucks, it's tough to have deflating losses because you're losing all the time anyway, but this is one that you had. This is one that you should have won. And this is a game that affects you, even in a 162-game season. I mean, you were playing one of the two other teams in Major League Baseball that actually had a worse record than you, although the White Sox have won 3 of the last 4, something like that. I think they're up to 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah, 6-24.
Yeah, so there you go.
Back when I was on television, to me, the worst day to have a bad show was Friday.
Yeah.
Because then you got to live with it the entire weekend.
I feel what you, yeah, okay.
Dick Monfort and Bill Schmidt have had 22 of those days
yeah.
now.
Yeah, you're
pick
right.
your favorite day in the week that ends in the letter Y. If I were them, I'm not saying this is how they feel. If it were me, I don't know if I'd leave my house. No, I'm being serious.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would feel comfortable. I would be too embarrassed to walk out of my house that somebody would actually recognize me with this disaster of a ball club that they have put together. I mean, there have been some bad seasons in Rockies history, really bad seasons. To say this is by far and away the worst is really saying something.
I don't have much of a comeback to that. The only thing that I can point to is
this is like being the most overweight kid at fat camp.
Okay.
It is.
There are some things that are worth watching on this team. And
you're gonna come with a silver lining?
Yeah, Jordan Beck.
Jordan Beck last night, I mean, he had 2 hits in his major league debut.
Oh, right.
Batting in the 9 hole. Hey, look.
You're tuning in to watch Jordan Beck. You're buying a ticket to watch Jordan Beck.
No, I will buy a ticket because I'm a baseball fan and I love the ballpark. And probably there will be some of it will be Tovar, Doyle. I mean, I don't know about Nolan Jones at this point.
He's on the IL now.
He's on the IL. Beck, Hunter Goodman. These are all guys that if the Rockies move forward and can be relevant in the next few years, will be guys. But no, this is a bad baseball team, and it may end up being historically bad. Not just Colorado Rockies bad, Major League Baseball bad.
I mean, the metric in baseball for being really bad is 100 losses. They are blowing by
that.
They're
over 120 right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Over 120 losses.
Literally talking about the potential or the path right now. They're on a path right now where they would have the worst record in the modern era of Major League Baseball.
And I'm just waiting for Bill Schmidt to get his extension.
Do you think this is the first year that the gate might finally be impacted this summer?
Or they're playing the Red Sox.
They're
playing, you know what I mean?
That whole division, right?
They play really good people. And they play the Dodgers a bunch. And they are always going to draw. Now, they went from like 8th to 13th last year. And 13th is still pretty good. But you make another dip like that if you go from 13th to 19 or 20. But they're still going to have lots of great nights because it's Denver, Colorado, and it's Coors Field.
Attendance has fallen tremendously.
It's fallen, yes.
No, a lot, actually. Because you look at the opener against Tampa, it was 48,000, then 29,25. After that, Arizona.
They haven't played anyone really at home.
No, I understand. Well, okay. Then against Arizona, and Arizona is not a team that draws.
No.
I get that. They were sitting at about 18,000 per game.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go look at Seattle. 25,000, 33,000, 19,000. Then against San Diego, 18, 18, 19. On Thursday, I don't know how they got 27,000 there, but they 27,000. Yeah, 27,000. Then against Houston, 19, 19.
Well, Houston wasn't home games. Those were in Mexico City.
Okay.
So they have not played a draw at
all.
Well,
when you play a draw, you're getting other teams' fans.
But that still counts in your attendance, is my point.
Of course it does, but we all know.
Yes.
We all know. It's kind of like when the Avs had their sellout streak going. I don't know if you were here during the time, but I remember sitting in the press box, we've sold out 535,000 games. And then you would look up at the top section, and there would be a complete empty section. Yes, you have sold the tickets, but the place is empty in that area. So we all used to kind of get a laugh at that. My point is, yes, you're going to have the Boston Red Sox come to town. You're going to have the Chicago Cubs come to town. But every team is not the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Yankees. So right now, basically, without those big market teams that have lots of fans, they're averaging probably in the neighborhood of about 19,000 to 20,000 a game. That's it.
Yeah.
Hope McGregor Square is doing well.
They'll end up.
I think there are going to be more people at Tom's Watch Bar in McGregor Square than there are at the games.
Did you see how few people were in Miami? But did you see any of that game last? Oh, my God. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in that place.
6,706 people.
It was unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can walk in any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. You can work with them if you want to design your whole kitchen. They have a staff ready to help you out. Also, they have a price match guarantee, and they have great financing options. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, Avalanche moving on to the second round. So are the Nuggets. Which team do you feel more confident about going into the second round? That's next. You try to remember, but it's gone. Then you're trying to scream, but it only comes out as a yawn. When you're trying to see the one beyond your front door.